This is the Visual Developers Podcast with your hosts, Lacey Kessler, Matt Varghese, and Ben Parker. Interviews, no-code reviews, tutorials, and more, we're here to talk about all things no-code.
Hey, everybody. Ben here from Visual Dev FM, back with another episode. Excited that you're here with us. This week, we have an interview with Arlen Hamilton. Matt and Lacey were able to sit down with her and have a great conversation. So looking forward for you to get a chance to hear that. But before we get there, we're going to do our no-code roundup. And as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Lacey and Matt.
Hi.
Heyo.
And so we're excited. So let's jump into what's new in no-code this week. So kicking off, Vincent from the Webflow community, who is an absolute legend, and he's done so many incredible things in Webflow. And if you've ever been in the forums, you've probably, even if you haven't spent a lot of time in the forums, if you Google the Webflow problem and you found a solution somewhere in the Webflow forum, chances are you're probably using one of Vincent's solutions. And he, back in the day, had a series of secrets, Webflow secrets, that was really cool. And so, of course, Webflow has changed a lot since then, and he's now revisiting this, and he's been tweeting. I think he said it was in 2016 he had six secrets, and so, or overly looked features. And so now he's back tweeting about new features in Webflow or hidden features in Webflow, and it's been absolutely amazing. Lots of treasures and hidden gems in there and good stuff. So if you're a Webflow user and you want to learn more about some of the cool features that maybe you're not using, or if you're like, hey, I'd like to take my Webflow game to the next level, what are some things that I could do to really make my life a whole lot easier? You need to go follow Vincent. And we have a link to that in the show notes, so you can go jump in, follow him on Twitter, and then catch up with those tips. Toby Allen, who I don't think we've talked about Toby before, but he did post a tweet this week that I thought was super interesting. It was a link to an article he wrote for Medium that was 10 tips for using Integromat, Airtable, and Webflow together. And I thought this was a bunch of really great advice. He talked about using, was all the tricks that I use for sure. It's, you know, how to have a sheet of reference IDs so you can search for one thing and replace it with another. You know, how to test with a small sample size of data and a few other things. It was really, really great. It's a good read. So if you're really looking to up your game, especially when it comes to that Webflow, and it doesn't matter, Integromat, Zapier, what principles are the same. There are some Integromat specific things in there, but Airtable, you know, Stack, if you have something there where you're really wanting to up that game, definitely go check it out. It's a good article and worth reading. And as always, link in the show description. BusyWork, which is a cool app we've talked about a little bit before. Patrick, who is the founder, we've been meaning to have him on. We've been playing tag for a long time, but we're going to have Patrick on soon. And he announced this week that BusyWork hit 500 users, which is amazing. So super pumped for Patrick and the BusyWork team. It's so cool. Such a cool milestone. And if you haven't checked out BusyWork, it's something you definitely need to play with. He's got some cool pieces and features in it. And I've only really scratch the surface in some of my playing with it and diving into it, and I'm looking forward to, I know he's talked about getting us a demo really soon of some of the power features. I can't wait to see some of that. He's got if you're talking like user systems and a bunch of different things that are in here that you can do with BusyWork. It's a cool concept, and so super, super happy for them. No Code Video. Chris Baggs and Aaron Kornblit were on No Code Video. And so if you want to see an interview with them, you can definitely dive in and check that out. As always, No Code Video, putting out some great content, lots of great stuff. And it's definitely something you want to go check out and watch. Link in the show description. And speaking of Chris Baggs, it's time for us to stop for just a second and say congratulations to Chris Baggs, because JetBoost they have an investor now. It's Earnest Capital. They've invested in JetBoost. And JetBoost, if you haven't used it, we've talked about it a lot on this podcast, but it's a tool that sits on top of Webflow and helps you take collection lists and filter them without having to write a single line of code. And the user experience, like we said before, I think is completely amazing. But super happy for Chris. He is an incredible person, and his product is really good, and I'm super stoked to see this happening.
Yeah, I am totally with you. First of all, Chris, if you're listening, congratulations. This is huge. I am, for one, am super, super excited to see what is going to come next for JetBoost. Like, what are they going to build next? Is it going to be a micro SaaS? Because Earnest Capital and Tyler Tringas, like Tyler Tringas wrote an ebook on micro SaaS and focusing like on a very niche product. So like, is that why Earnest Capital invested? I don't know. It'll be to see what comes of it. But nonetheless, good for that guy. I feel like, you know, Chris is one of the nicest people that we get to talk to. And so he helped us out a lot with the OK for OK build and things like that. So shout out to him. Couldn't have happened to a better person.
And someone we want to get on this podcast is on our list of people. We'll have one soon, for sure. So super happy for them. So congrats. And moving on, Raymar from No Code Video. He's announced a new competition. We want to take pause for a second, talk about this, because this is a cool challenge that's happening in the No Code community. But he posted on Twitter that they're excited to announce what they're calling Clone Comp, which is a Webflow clonable competition. It's a fun self-guided challenge to test your Webflow skills and connect you with the no-code community. So essentially the idea here is that you will, for a certain period of time, I think it's in June, June 9th through 12th, it looks like, it's going to be like 3-day self-guided competition where you'll have makers building things in Webflow. We'll make those projects clonable. And then they'll be judged. You know, you'll take certain steps to get those entered into the competition. And then there'll be prizes. So the grand prize for first place, grand prize is $200 provided by FinSuite. MakerPad is giving 5 memberships. MemberStack's giving a $100 account credit, which is really cool. 5 of those. And then JetBoost is throwing in some things as well. They haven't determined that, but lots of cool stuff. They have all the official rules posted. We'll put a link here so you can go check that out. But if you're somebody who likes to build in Webflow and you like to take part in competitions, you got that competitive streak, you kind of want to be able to show your game, then make sure and put some time on your calendar for June and get ready to build something awesome. Start scheming those ideas now because it's going to be pretty fun.
And I also think this is a really good way for people who are just kind of dipping their toe in the no code space and in Webflow, and they're not really plugged in with the community yet, to get involved in this kind of challenge and start talking with other people. It's a great way to form relationships and learn while you're doing it. And I love that they're putting this on. I think it's brilliant. And it's from Ray and Colleen. So super happy they're doing this.
It's really awesome. So can't wait for that, and link in the show description so you can go check all that out and get prepared. Speaking of Webflow, Webflow launched scheduled publishing. It's here. So scheduled publishing is here. And so what this means is you can now schedule posts for the CMS in Webflow. So if you were one of those people who you're like, man, I wanted to build a blog in Webflow, but you know, one of the things I really needed to be able to do that was to be able to schedule content. The wait is over. You can do this now. It's something that you can schedule blog posts, portfolio items, you know, anything that you like. For us, it's podcast episodes like this one, where we'll be able to schedule that release to our website. So super excited to see this here. And Webflow's been putting out like a lot of features lately, like, and quickly. And one thing that kind of snuck under the radar that I don't think got enough love is that before, Webflow social share images on Twitter with the little small images, and now they've pushed to sharing to the large Twitter cards on Twitter, which is really cool. So just lots of little things. So props to the team at Webflow for all the cool work, and definitely something that you should check out. Adalo. Adalo has a project coming out. And let me just read the tweet to you. For the last 3 months, one of our co-founders, David Adkin, has been working on a book and a mini video series about the future of no-code. It's dropping this Thursday, May 14th. And so they have a blog post where you can read about the inspiration and the idea and what to expect. I don't want to give away too much here, but we'll be talking with David about this project and sharing more details soon. Spoiler alert, we were a part of this project and we got to take part in this. There's a lot of great takes from a lot of really amazing people in here, from You know, Wade from Zapier and Vlad from Webflow and Tara Reed and so many incredible people. Ben Tossel is in here. So if you want to hear what all these different people think about the future of no-code, this is definitely something you should stay tuned for because this is going to be really, really cool. I think there'll be not only, you know, a text here that you can dig through, but also like video interviews as people are putting out their answers, so you can kind of see what everybody had to say about it. Should be super interesting and super cool. So keep an eye out for that and keep listening because we'll have more on this very soon. I saw this tweet about the no-code landscape. I am Nerman Dave. He said credit to Charge VC because they made this screenshot. And it shows all of the no-code tools, which I thought was a really good representation of just like all the no-code tools in the space right now. So if you haven't seen this, link in the show description. Matt, I see you have something to say here.
This is an interesting chart. I don't recognize a lot of these, and that might just be because I'm behind the curve or something, but like a lot of these are just very, very unfamiliar. But then a lot of them, it's like, I know we have the back and forth on here about whether Shopify is no code or not, but like if you have an e-commerce box, Shopify is the king in that space right now. And so you have to kind of include that. So it's an interesting list. I agree with some of it, and maybe some things are missing from the others. I do like the classification of like what does Coda go in and Notion, and I don't know what that third app is, but like a super docs tool. I kind of like that term. I know we get, again, it's like a conversation of whether Coda is a doc or an app or all that, but super docs seems somewhat fitting.
It made me wonder when it says with the community about putting the dev community in there. I saw that and I was like, I know what that is, but it's like, I didn't realize that there were no code people in there. And so I went and searched and I only found like 5 posts. And so it made me wonder if, you know, this really does belong in there. I don't think so, but I think also it was probably made from someone who's not involved in the space. So maybe they just saw some, you know, things and dropped it in. But I'm kind of with Matt. Some of these, I'm like, I've never heard of this. I'm not even really sure what it is just based of, you know, looking at the logo. So I probably should like take some time and, you know, familiarize myself with them, but interesting take for sure.
I think I had seen most of these, you know, I felt pretty familiar with a lot of these. Matt loved the categorization. I did not love it so much. Like, to put Webflow just in web apps and e-commerce,
I only like SuperDocs. SuperDocs is a term. The rest of it seems a little bit off in terms of the rest of the categorization.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those, it's a, you know, mobile apps, okay, that's cool. Spreadsheets and databases, all right. But, you know, I don't know. Member stack, I don't consider that just monetization or member space. So I don't know. And then I wouldn't, there's no board of no code tools for me that if this, then that sets one. And I'm sure you could do some clever things with it, but like if you're trying to truly build something with no code, you're probably going to like step it up a notch and at least use Zapier. And that felt weird to me too, for sure.
I think one of the things that I liked about David's project, which I don't want to reveal too much, is like his whole goal is like helping define what is no code and what is this space and, you know, kind of carving out what this is really supposed to be. And so I think as we start to get more, as we get deeper in, we'll have better guidance and more defined routes for where these apps go, I feel like.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting take for sure. But if you haven't seen it, link in the show notes, you can jump in. Would love to hear your take on it. I think it's one of the most comprehensive pieces too, you know. So it's really cool. I've not seen the space organized this well too, so props for that. So there are two sides of this, but just wanted to share that. Would love to hear the thoughts from everybody in the community, all our listeners, what they think of this. So definitely check that out. So we got a chance to work with Bloomberg Beta, which is incredible. In fact, Roy from Bloomberg Beta, he tweeted about the experience. And getting to work with us, which was really cool. And we were super excited to get to work with them. And so we essentially spent a part of our day just hanging out and talking about the no-code space and what kind of automations are out there and available and what that looks like and, you know, what's kind of common as far as use cases and different things. And it was a really great time. And if any of you are listening to this, we really enjoyed hanging out with you and getting to talk no-code. And to learn from one another, because it was a really, really a great time and such a cool team. Looking to do more of this as a group, and we really, really enjoyed the time. So super cool. Al from Coda reached out. He tweeted at me that he wrote a few scripts to sync Coda and Google Sheets and knew I might find it interesting. Thank you, Al. Appreciate you. Instantly saved this and already have some ideas for how I'm going to use this. But if you were looking to, you know, try to sync Coda and Google Sheets, or if you had some ideas that you're like, if I could just, you know, make this connection here, this might be something that's up your alley. And so definitely check it out. Link in the show notes so you can jump in and see how that works. Aiden Hamilton, who is a part of the no-code community, he actually jumped into, like, we did a Zoom call, an open Zoom call a little while back. And Aiden jumped in and hung out. He launched his second no-code project recently, which was just a New Zealand COVID case tracker. And he used the virus tracker API in a Tegramat, used Airtable, Google Sheets, a Data Studio Room and Card. So super stoked to see this. It's I think it's fightcovid.site, but don't quote me on that. Link in the show descriptions. Definitely want to check that out. But props to Aiden. It seems super cool and super cool to see that project launch. So we did see a tweet. In fact, we've seen this, I think, Frank Ramirez from Webflow. Yeah, we have that tweet in the outline. I'm jumping the gun here. But there's a tweet from David Head, and he said, quote, "Those building no-code apps for your dream businesses, you'll have an epiphany within the next 1 to 2 years. You'll realize you can freelance as a no-code engineer and make way more money than you could with your dream business. It's not the dream, but it's not bad either." And he has a screenshot about from Naval on Twitter talking about really arming yourself with a specific set of knowledge and being able to do some really great things because you are, you know, really dialed in. And Frank tweeted about this too. You know, he said, "Another misconception is that no code makes building software easy. Just because the code is abstracted, it doesn't mean you still don't have to learn and work hard." I thought these were really great takes. And so we just wanted to pause for a second and have a conversation about this, because these are some super interesting takes.
I totally agree with this. I, for a long time, you know, this goes back to a conversation we had with Max Lind in one of our early interviews about generalists versus specialists. And like, he's team generalist, but to me, like, I almost want to be team specialist. That's kind of how I structure like who I hire for projects. I love hiring specialists like Ben or like Parker Thompson, or, you know, people that know, like, that can go really deep on what I need, because it makes my life easier. You know, I can just say, "Here's the project. You know, you give me your rate, I'll pay you." And then we're set. And, you know, Ben can freelance with however many people he wants. And, you know, with tools like Webflow, like, they're only increasing popularity, not only with small businesses, but also enterprises, with also SaaS companies building their front end. You know, MemberStack's front end is built in Webflow. And so I love this. I think this is dead on. I'm team specialist versus team generalist. I just think getting deep into a specific field can make you really, really valuable as a freelancer. And I think becoming a no code engineer, being able to build these solutions for other people, because Ben and I, like, we talked about this a lot way back when, like, this is building software. Like, you are writing software. You're just not writing the code yourself. And so, I think this will be a really valuable occupation, if you want to call it that, or freelance gig.
I think so too. And I really liked what Frank said about just because the code's abstracted doesn't mean you still don't have to learn and work hard. And I think that that's something that we talk about internally all the time. And so much of what we are building, you know, curriculum on for Visual Dev School is you know, it doesn't mean that you just all of a sudden get these tools and you just have this epiphany and now you know how to structure everything and you know how to do this, which is why it's so much more important than just stitching things together and getting, you know, some byproduct that you're not even really sure what it is. And I love that I'm kind of seeing more of this. And even when we were with Bloomberg, how they were talking about, it's like, well, yeah, you can use this tool, but like, if you don't understand some of these other things, like it's really not going to get you very far, or, you know, with the questions that the team had. And so I really love this, and it makes me excited to, like, for the work that we're doing and just like to put stuff out into the community of teaching them how to, you know, approach these concepts in bigger, more meaningful ways. Because I do think that we are going to see, you know, whether we call them no code engineers or not, we are going to see that definitely come up, and it is going to be a job, and it is going to be a very desirable, you know, person to have on your team. So super exciting stuff. And it's just interesting, you know, it's fun to see people start kind of exploring these ideas now that the space is getting, you know, more people, getting a little maturity on it. Super fun.
Well, we believe in it here. I mean, this is the Visual Developers Podcast, right? I mean, we named it that for a reason. It's not just somebody who, you know, it's not a designer on steroids. I mean, it's about, we believe in that no code engineer life. And I, you know, I think there are many people, I watch them build, and you could call them full stack visual developers or full stack no code engineers who can kind of do it all. And I think that, you know, the kind of questions that we get every day, like my Twitter inbox gets lit up, or somebody hits me up on the Webflow forum, or I get emails, or somebody comments on a YouTube video. I think it proves that Frank's point to be super, super correct in that it's still not easy. Like, you don't have to write code, but, you know, there's still nothing easy about it. You know, even when you hear people talk about, hey, I built it all in Bubble and I didn't really write any code. I mean, maybe a little. And then, you know, but when you have them explain the back end of that, it gets super complicated. When you hear us talk about the back ends of these apps that we're trying to like glue together, it's complicated, and it's not something that you can just, and I think that there are obviously some people just naturally pick it up and they're really good at it. It doesn't matter. They can go from 0 to 100, but for most people, it's still hard, because I think Lacey made a great point. There's a lot of the concepts that just, I mean, you don't have to be able to code, but you kind of have to know how this all works in the background, so you can make these things work and you can make these tools talk together and you can make it do what you want. So there's definitely a space for this. And I think more and more as this space grows, you're going to see a lot more people and a lot more companies looking to hire people who can do this, these sorts of things. I mean, it's one of those pieces where, oh, we could invest in this enterprise tool that does 5 or 6 things, or like, you know, which is a lot, you know, you spend a lot of money on, or like we could hire somebody who's a specialist and who can open up Coda and literally create this for us, and it's custom for us. It does specifically what we want. Or they can take Webflow and Airtable and Zapier, and they can build this thing that's just for us, that does the exact things we want, and it's personalized for us. So we're not making another tool work. We are making a tool that works for exactly for us the way we want it. And then there's just a lot of companies who are looking now going, how can we automate these? Like, you know, I do this like 5 times a week. There's gotta be a way to automate this process and make it so much more approachable and make it easier for us. And so there's definitely, I think, a ton of room here to really be an expert. And I think there's a lot of people in the no code space who are building their own things and chasing their dreams. And I think that's cool. But I also love this take too, because I think there's a lot of, and maybe it's both, and that's part of, like, you know, you hear this from the no code space too a lot, right? Like, I can stand up my app in a weekend and still go freelance. So like, there's a lot of that too. So I think it's both, and, but it's really cool take. And I really enjoyed that conversation on Twitter. Pretty neat. So next up, Lacey joined Max Haney for 100 Days of No Code. And so she did an AMA, or did you do it, or are you doing it? Is it over?
Yeah, I did it.
Did
yeah.
I miss it?
You did. Thanks for the support, bro.
I just cussed on this podcast. I'm sorry, Mom.
I did. And it was so great to talk with Max and the other people that attended of their general questions around no code, getting started, projects, you know, what does this look like on an enterprise level and medium business, small business? What kind of, you know, jobs could be available? What do they need to learn? You know, the foundation that I think, you know, for some of us who've been in this space for a little bit, it's kind of like we've already got this figured out. Like we kind of felt around, or we come from a coding background, or, you know, we're kind of transitioning in from something else. And so those questions were answered for us, but for a lot of other people, they're not answered. And they just asked amazing questions, and they're working on really cool projects. And I really admire their dedication to committing 100 days to learning this craft better. And some of them are working on, you know, big products, and some just want to do like smaller products along the way just to increase their knowledge and have some fun. So it was really great to be a part of it. And I'm so thankful that Max asked me, and I just really enjoyed it.
That's awesome. And link in the show description where people can go catch up on that conversation, correct?
I think he's going to be putting out videos on it, but I think he just put it out in his newsletter, if I'm not mistaken. But if it is there, we'll find it. Yeah, for sure.
That way people can catch up. I tweeted. Well, this feels weird to say I tweeted, like I'm quoting myself here. Hey, guys. Ben says, I'm like talking myself in the third person. What an idiot. Okay. So I tweeted out this weekend because something we seriously have been considering here for a while, we've been talking about it, is how do we build more community around all these conversations we're having weekly? Our guests are saying a lot of really awesome things, and it's a conversation we'd like to keep continuing and with more of you. And then, you know, no code roundup is fun, but everybody has takes on it, and you know, not everybody shares them on Twitter. And sometimes, like, I'll get on a video call with somebody and be like, hey, when you guys were talking about this, ABC, this is what I think. You know, it's so fun to hear people's thoughts, and we'd really love to cultivate that more. And we know there's a lot of different communities out there, but we'd really just like a place where we can have really focused conversations on super specific things. You know, whether it's no code builds or questions or supporting each other through some different projects or whatever it might be. We don't know what all that looks like, but we're trying to figure out how we do it and what we do it. We have lots of ideas. I posted a poll Slack. You know, we could do a private forum. I think Circle has been mentioned, talked about Discourse, Facebook group that a lot of people did not like. I'm one of those people. I'm not a big Facebook person. Roy from Bloomberg Beta suggested a subreddit. You know, so if you have an idea for what's the best format or what's the best place, we're all ears. We want to hear from you because we'd love to make it a place where, you know, you can come check out, jump into the conversation, teach something, learn something, and just have some fun. Honestly, a lot of the episodes that are not interviews, those topics are picked because Lacey, Matt, and I are in some sort of Slack conversation, and someone will mention something, and then like the conversation heats up, and it really spurs, you know, what we talk about on the podcast. And we'd love to have a place that you can come hang out and be a part of those conversations and talk to us about, you know, your feelings and your thoughts and what no code tools you're choosing and why and all that. So anyway, but we'd love to have your feedback. The whole point, like, we could pick something on our own, and it doesn't really mean much if everybody thinks that's a stupid idea or you all don't want to do that, right? Because the whole point is we want to talk to you. So we'd love to hear from you. So if my poll is expired, just reply to the tweet. It's in here. Email us. You know, you can tweet any of us. We're always open to hear suggestions. So let us know. But we'd love to have your take because we'd love to have a spot that's, you know, for Visual Dev FM listeners to come and hang out and talk no code. So anyway, that's it for our no code roundup. Thank you so much for listening. This week, like I said, our interview is with Arlen Hamilton. And Arlen, Lacey, do you want to give some background on Arlen? I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but would you like to talk a little bit about her and give a good introduction?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm happy to. So Arlen is one of my, probably one of the people I look up to the most, just her background and her story. She runs Backstage Capital, which is an investment company that invests in underrepresented founders. And so that is going to be primarily women, people of color, the LGBTQ community. And she literally started from nothing. She was homeless. And she now runs this massive company and invests in all of these underrepresented people. And she just wrote a book. And so we talk about that and just how she got her start. And I really think for anybody who is entrepreneurial minded, this is going to be a great podcast for you, because she really jumps in and, you know, answers questions about how she got to where she is today. She's such a humble person, and just all around fantastic. I was having like major like fangirl, you know, I was could barely talk. I was so nervous because I just admire her so, so much. So yeah, you're definitely in for a treat listening or watching, because we're actually recording this video and we haven't talked about that. So if you're still watching, you can watch us on YouTube or you can listen to it on the podcast.
Absolutely. And if you're listening and you'd like to watch this whole No Code Roundup, and the interviews also available to be viewed now, something fun we're trying out. So we'd love for you to
Visual DevCo on YouTube.
Visual DevCo on YouTube. Link in the show description so you don't have to search for it. That's what we're here for. And if you're on YouTube, the show description is there too, so you don't have to worry. It's no big deal. So we want to say thanks for watching, listening, for tuning in. We really appreciate each and every one of you, all the feedback we get, and looking forward to talking to you again next week. See you guys.
Deuce.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining us today on this episode, the Visual Dev FM podcast. I am so excited to announce our next guest with you. I have Arlen Hamilton here with us today, and she is going to share about her new book that's going to be released, as well as talk with us more about her background and what she's up to now. So, Arlen, thank you so, so much for being here with us today.
Hey, thank you for having me.
We're really, really excited, and I know our listeners are too. So why don't we go ahead and get started, and would you mind kind of telling us like a little bit about your background, how you got it started in investing, and what really kind of drives you and motivates you?
Yeah, so I'm Arlen. I am the founder of Backstage Capital. We're a venture fund that invests all over the country, all over the United States, in underestimated, underrepresented founders who are women, people of color, and LGBTQ. I started Backstage originally and officially in 2015, and since then have invested in more than 130 companies as a team. And really was born from an understanding around 2011, where I was researching for raising for my own company. I found a statistic that made no sense to me, which is that 90% of all venture capital goes to straight white men in a country where they only make up a third of the population. And that sort of took me on a different path than rather than trying to raise for a company. I thought, well, why don't we try to fix the system a little bit better so that there's more competition and there's more innovation and more people get there than just one or two. And so I set out for several years to raise capital for that, got a lot of no's, and throughout that was also on a personal level dealing with a lot of housing insecurity, had a lot of issues there, ended up homeless at one point. And in 2015, after a lot of hard work and a lot of effort and a lot of research and talking to founders, I was able to get my first investor to believe in me to invest in others, and turned that into raising and earning more than $10 million over the last 4.5 years and generating a lot of interest in underestimated founders themselves.
Wow. That's phenomenal. That's wonderful. And so that's what you're doing now, is working those. Wonderful. That's so great. And you're, if I'm not mistaken, you're from like the Dallas area, right?
Yes. I grew up in Dallas.
I'm from Fort Worth.
Oh, cool.
Yep. So not far.
Yeah. Going to Fort Worth was always like a, an event for us. We'd go to Fort Worth.
Yeah. So we're the opposite. It was like going to Dallas was like the big, literally is the big city in Fort Worth. So how funny. That's awesome. So, when you decided to focus on these specific people groups, how would you say, like, with nurturing their growth is just as important as probably investing, would you say?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think the investment part, especially because it's so difficult to raise the capital to invest, the investment part takes a back seat to everything else. I mean, we really, if you think about it, for some of these companies that now have matured into very valuable companies, we put in $25,000 at one point or $50,000 in a situation where they may have raised more than $10 million at this point, but they still call us first, or they still list us in their press as, you know, Andreessen Sequoia backstage. And there's a reason for that. And that's because what we lacked in funding and resources, we made up for in elbow grease and just being side by side with a lot of these founders. Now there's 130 founders in the portfolio, so we don't do this with every single one. We are open to that. We do it with whatever their needs are. And mostly we work with them on just high level decision-making, like just let them talk it out. And we help give our opinions, but on recruiting and finding the first major customers or the next major customers, and how do they look at their teams and manage their teams as much as we can be helpful there, and keeping our own house in order, you know, and leading by example. And so those are the types of things we do. We want people to meetings so that we would be in the room with them so that the investor couldn't play any tricks. I mean, it got to that point, you know, when we were at a certain period. So I think that there's all kinds of money, and I think that there's some more valuable money, and I think that we're valuable money.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That's wonderful. I love that it's such a personal approach. I know, to be honest, very little of investing, but what I have heard and have had friends who've gone through the process, it's been a terrible, like they can't trust them. They're just kind of like, you know, given a lump sum and then they're, you know, responsible to the investors, and it's just like a overwhelming bad situation.
It can be like that. There are some good situations, and we have a lot of them in our portfolio where their co-investors are just wonderful and add on and do things that we could never be able to do with our resources. But a lot of times it's like what you're hearing from your friends. You just have to know going into things when you're giving away equity, you're giving away a piece of you, and you're giving away that autonomy that it's no longer there unless you buy it back eventually, which happens every blue moon.
Right. So tell us more about your upcoming book. It's called It's About Damn Time, and I am excited for it. I've pre-ordered it. Cannot wait to get it in. So I would love to hear more about it.
Yeah, thank you for pre-ordering. I am very excited about it too. It's About Damn Time, How to Turn Being Underestimated into Your Greatest Advantage. And it is part memoir leading up to the first 40 years, I guess. And then part business practical tool that was so important to me. It's on a business imprint, currency. Of Penguin Random House. So that was really important to me. I didn't want it to just be in this sort of self-help section or just be in this inspirational section. I wanted it to be something where you are inspired and then you're given the tools to go use your passion and your focus as one. And that's what I'm hoping people get from it. And it's also what I'm hearing people are getting from it in the early reads.
That's awesome. So who would you say that your book is applicable to? Like, who should pick it up?
Sure. So I honestly, I know everybody's going to try to sell it and say that everybody can read it, but I've honestly heard from many different types of people who get something from it. The first group, though, I think is going to be like a no-brainer of like, you got to pick this up because it just will strike you in a way, is our women 25 to 45 who either own a company or have always wanted to and or who have some sort of project going. It doesn't have to be a full-on company. Like I used to have a blog, and I talk a lot about the blog in there, where it's just about, is there something that you're working on that is your idea, your baby that you work on? And this, for that group, it doesn't matter your race or your background, really. It really doesn't, your socioeconomic background. You're all going to get something from it. But from that group, I think you're really going to get the most out of it. And especially if you have ever felt underestimated in your life, if you've ever walked into a room and somebody mistook you for the help, or mistook you for something else that you weren't, or you're a woman and they think that your husband must run things, or, you know, things like that. I think you'll find a lot of stories and a lot of things to resonate. Also, I speak a lot about being LGBTQ, and I hope that a lot of us read it, because we're not always represented either, especially in business books. Like this is our time too, not only for women of color and for women, but for LGBTQ too. It's about damn time for us too, right? For sure. Then you have people of color across the board. So you have men, you have all races. I'm getting feedback from everybody. And what has been really cool is, like, the black man did the recording of my audio book, and he says he's done like 15 of them. And he told me, he's like, guys are going to get a lot out of this, because it's like, it's kind of high energy, even though it's like, there's a lot of heart to it. There is a lot of high risk to it, you know, high stakes to it. And he said, it's like anybody who wants to be motivated will get something from it. And then I just had an interview moments ago with a straight white man in his, I'm going to say 40s, who said he couldn't put it down. And it, you know, we were able to talk about indie music and the Norwegian pop punk band that I used to tour manage. And, you know, there's just so many things. And to me, that's like a dream, that so many different people can get something from. It's a dream come true.
Right.
Absolutely.
Just touching on that, on the, you know, that idea of the book really quickly, like being underestimated. One thing I've noticed about you, you know, and following you on Twitter and watching interviews with you, is that you've got a lot of grit and discipline. And like, where do you think that comes from? Does that come from your childhood? Is that coming from, you know, you managing that tour band? Is that like a combination of the experiences?
Yeah, it definitely didn't come from my childhood. There wasn't a lot of push for us to be like, you know, hard. There wasn't that discipline for me, wasn't there, which is fine. You know, it's more like, yeah, kind of, it's funny because I used to check into hotels and check out of hotels while I was on tour. And sometimes the housekeepers would stop me in the hallway and ask me if I was in the military, because my room was so nice. like they didn't have to do anything to the bed or whatever. And I'm like, no, that's interesting though. So I guess I do have a discipline to me. It's more of a focus. I don't know if it's a discipline. It's a focus. It's habits. It's drive. It's in knowing exactly what I want and having the confidence to get it. And being able to see that immediate impact that it has on people. It's just like, it's like a muscle that's been worked for years now. And it's just like, you can't help but to get good at this when you have so many people who are telling you that they're benefiting from the work. And that's where I get it. And then it's just, before people were looking at me and talking, you know, checking for me those 35 years, it came from the determination of this that I believe in this so much. And I know that it has to exist, and I can imagine it with my mind's eye, and I have to walk towards that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So in this, and I think we've got just a couple minutes left, but when you talk about like with having grit and being under, how you come from a place of confidence, how did you begin to build that confidence?
Well, I discovered recently that, like, I thought I knew the answer to that, but I discovered recently that it's a little bit even more practical than what I even thought. I thought it was, and maybe it's a combination. I thought it was like, I watched my mom, who was confident in some ways, and in other ways she's not, but I watched her in certain situations, and that kind of formed things. I also have so many people behind me that have my back and beside me, and we're walking towards this. But also, it was brought to my attention that because the very first chapter of my book is called "Let's Get Information," because, you know, Beyonce says "Let's get information." She's also saying "Let's get information," right? So I talk about how information can make you money. Information can shore up your wealth, your personal wealth. I think I'm confident because I do so much research, and I have so much practical experience with the things I'm talking about. So I don't have to be worried. I mean, I'm not going to get it perfectly right. I make mistakes all the time, but the core of it, I'm sure about because I live it every day. And then I also know that if I make a mistake, as long as I'm just forever curious about it, it's going to be okay. I'll be better tomorrow.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. That like makes me feel emotional that you say that. I think that's fantastic. So if there is one, and this will be our last question to honor your time. If there is one key takeaway from your book that you want someone to hear, what would it be?
Ooh, yeah. I think that if people walk away from the book thinking and knowing that the amount of time we have on this earth, each of us is equal on this earth, and each of us deserves not only a seat at the table, but the piece of this earth that is ours. We each deserve to be here, and we each deserve to have success in whatever way that means to us, whatever form that means to us. And there's no one better than you or worse than you. And if that helps you know that all these barriers to things that we kind of put up for ourselves, and yes, the institutional barriers, depending on who you are, and everybody has some that hold us back, can be a little bit shorter after you read the book, to me, that would be unbridled success.
Yeah, absolutely. If that was your answer to that question, I really cannot wait to read the book now. I can't imagine how great it's going to be. Thank you so, so much for joining us. We're so excited for your journey and what you're doing and how you're such an inspiration to all of these communities. We cannot wait to get our hands on your book and wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to visualdev.fm. You can find us on your favorite social media platform at visualdevfm.